Oliver Shillington was outstanding. I really liked him, but we don't want him sitting either, right? So now what we want him to be able to do, and he's done it in the past, he did it when Husk was down there with him, go down and kill penalties. So when he comes back up, that's an option for us. We want him killing penalties, we want him on the left side specifically. Kale's well aware of that, so when we bring him up, that we could possibly use him in that role and reduce some other guys' minutes.
See that coming? Oliver Shillington to AHL Stockton. When I saw that news earlier this morning, it was certainly not something I was expecting. That's head coach Bill Peters discussing the decision. Shillington to Stockton, Brandon Davidson up from the American Hockey League. They talk about wanting him to go down there, play a lot of minutes in all situations, and start to become more of an option for them on the big team on the PK and start to develop that skill in the American League. I've liked Shillington quite a bit this year. I thought he has done a nice job making strides.
Been better.
I would say from year over year.
Well, and
definitely.
Even from opening night until where we're at now, or at least early action in the season. I think he's been better. Clearly not a finished product. And I think this move's made with that in mind, that he's still absolutely developing. And to get him in more spots, more ice, and in a different role in Stockton, right on. Davidson's been great as well. He was brought up by Cale MacLean when we chatted on Monday. They've got two veteran guys that have been sensational. I think Buddy Robinson's got like 7-8 goals. And Brandon Davidson,
Buddy Robinson,
right near the top of AHL defenseman scoring. So there you go. And you know what? Something you said earlier kind of struck a note with me. Like, I was like, yeah, okay, that yeah, for sure. That if you're just looking for a third pair and what kind of flexibility you have and what's this guy going to give us, he's a guy you should try there. You're not asking him to come and play big minutes or to turn into a franchise defenseman. But right now, what is he and can he help? And what does that teach you, or what do you learn about what you have moving forward?
One, and what type of depth do you have in the organization? Like, if you run into injuries or if you want to make a trade, I don't think anybody is naive to the fact that the Flames are still looking to make a deal and still looking to give themselves some more cap space. And if a deal to do that involves a blue liner,
yep.
Well, don't you need to see what else you have? You know what you have in Shillington, and I think the coaching staff is comfortable playing Shillington on an everyday role. Could they be that with Davidson?
I even think they know more now than they did at the beginning of the year what they have in Shillington.
100%.
You absolutely know what you're getting from Rasmus Anderson and the rest of the top five, and I think they have a good idea and expectation of what Yusuf Välimäki could be when he's back. So if you feel comfortable in trading a piece away and now you run into injury, who's the next man up? What does he look like? Here you go. Get a chance to see.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is, with Shillington going down, this doesn't seem like he's going down, we probably won't see him again for the rest of the year. I think he goes down, whether it's for 3 weeks or 6 weeks or however long it might be, get him playing 23 minutes a night and start to... Because the one thing that we know about this organization is what Cale MacLean and that coaching staff is doing system-wise and special teams is the same as what they're doing here. And it's something that a lot of other NHL teams do, but... It's based on, okay, what you're getting taught down here is the same thing we're teaching up here. So when you step back, so if Shillington goes and sees a lot of time as a top left side defense penalty killer in Stockton and then comes out and starts killing penalties in the NHL, well, nothing changes. The same type of looks, the same type of outlets, the same type of lanes are open. So this strikes me as a big-time development move for Shillington, and I think that's the way it's been communicated. Like, we want you to be an even bigger part of our blue line. We want you to play even more minutes. And, you know, you take a look at what he's averaged for minutes this year. All of a sudden, you add some penalty-killing time into that conversation, and now we're not talking about him, you know, playing 12 minutes a night. Maybe you're talking about him playing 15 minutes a night, and that could be a really nice step for him, too.
Even more wouldn't surprise me at that level, for sure.
And when he comes, I'm talking about the NHL.
Yeah, and so the point being that you get a more polished player coming back. I think Yusuf Välimäki benefited from that last year. You could argue that Mangiapane benefited from the start last year and then coming up. You know, you're right. They want the systems to be the same. And who knows? They might be a period away from needing this guy back. We can't predict future injuries.
Very true.
No one's good at that. And Davidson might come up and be like, nope, this isn't working. He's more of a quad A guy at this point of his career, at this in this stage of what NHL hockey looks like. So we'll see how it plays out, but they're certainly going to have a look at what they have, I think. And no major switch financially, nor with the composition of the blue line. He's a lefty. Shillington was a lefty. He makes $700,000. Shillington made $730,000 in a touch. So really minimal impacts on lefty-righty swapping around and the cap. They're already into LTIR, so nothing major on that front. This isn't what the Shillington down before was about. That
no.
was about staying under the cap.
No, not at all. And right now, Shillington averaging 13.23 of ice time per game. So, you know, you're probably talking about 7 to 10 minutes higher per game in the American League. And if, say, he goes down and plays 15 games in Stockton or 12 games in Stockton or however long it takes, and he's seeing significant penalty killing time, come back up here, and now all of a sudden he's being used as a penalty killer here. I think they're wanting to cut down on some of the ice time because right now a lot of their top players are doing power play and penalty kill and significant five-on-five time. If all of a sudden you've got Shillington as an option as a penalty killer, his ice time bumps up. Maybe he's now averaging 16, 17 minutes a game or something in that range, and you can ease off the Giordano ice time. You can ease off the Hanifin ice time, that type of stuff. So I can see why they're thinking about making this conversation.
Yeah, and it might not be about getting your better players off the ice more. It might just be about what's best for the individual player long term, right? The other thing is maybe it has nothing to do with them. It's like, okay, we think we understand what we have.
This could be all about Davidson.
If, let's say, they get an offer for TJ Brody that's better than anything they've seen, it's like, okay, well, what do we have if TJ's gone? Are we comfy with the Shillington-Stone third pair? And if we're suffering an injury, that means someone's coming up. That someone's going to be Brandon Davidson. What does he look like?
Or
they don't know.
Are we comfortable with Davidson as a 6'7" all
Stone,
the time?
If you go with the, sort of the old school, stay at home, you know, get it out, keep it simple pairing. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Because it's still, you're right, it's another left-shot defenseman that enters the conversation. So 10 points in 10 games for Davidson in the American Hockey League. He's tied for the AHL lead for points by defenseman. He's also tied for, I believe, the Stockton lead in points to start the year. So it's been a nice start to the season for Brandon Davidson. He will not play tonight, however. He will sit and watch as the Flames host the New Jersey Devils this evening at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Welcome to Pinder and Steinberg from the Better Business Bureau Hot Stone Lounge on a Thursday game day. So here's what the back end's going to look like. Giordano with Hamonic, Hanifin with Anderson, Brody with Stone. Those are the pairings to start the game tonight.
Different, hey?
I like it. I like the way it spread things.
Well,
it spreads
things
out a little bit, and I think it is an attempt to try and get a number of guys that have not been at their best to a whole lot closer to their best. I would suggest that Giordano, Hamonic, Brody have all been struggling more than the Flames would like them to be struggling in the early stages of the season.
Yeah, no, for sure. And the coach asked more from specifically his vets in a media availability earlier this week. So clearly, you know, these are guys that are asked to be better. Now, I you can like it and just being curious and saying, okay, they're changing things up. I wonder what it looks like. But we really don't know if it's going to be better or worse. Let's be honest. These options were all available to them last year. They never did this. So to suggest it's going to be better than what they had, well, I don't know about that, but maybe it's a spark to get guys going. I don't know that what I'm looking at is something we'd expect to see lasting long term. And to be fair, Bill Peters has mixed it up more than he's kept things the same with his lineup this year in terms of all the changes we've seen on the second line, Elias Lindholm at center, the continual shuffle of the bottom six forwards, you know, Brody up and down from first to third pair. The real only thing consistent has been change for the lineup. There hasn't been a set it and forget it, here's your standard lineup, away we go.
There's been one set it and forget it thing.
And but they keep going away from it.
The one thing that has been set it and forget it is Hanifin and Hamonic.
Yeah.
That's getting split apart here.
Yeah, and so while I'm curious to see what it looks like, I also wouldn't be surprised if the coach is like, you know what, it's the second period, I just want to go back to guys that know each other. I had a chat with Andrew Mangiapane yesterday in the locker room after practice, and it kind of reminded me how much continuity and reps and experience with your teammates means. So the first goal against Arizona Mangiapane's breaking up the right wall as the winger, and he's got time to get out of the zone, and he tries a drop pass like 3 feet inside the blue line. You remember the play.
Mm-hmm.
Backlund is trailing him, but it's stolen away by a Coyote, and then boom, it's in the back of the net, 1-0 Yotes. And you're thinking, ooh, geez, like that's a pretty not great turnover for a young guy in a new spot on a new line. I wonder if they're going to bump him off and bring Frolik back up to that line, which we've seen forever, right? Again, the constant churn. You know what drives coaches nuts. It's those little mistakes. So I said, you know, what happened there? Were you worried about switching lines? And Mangiapane said, I heard Backlund saying behind. And I thought he was telling me to drop the puck to him. When he was actually trying to communicate was there was someone on my tail chasing me. And that is just the reminder that until you play a bunch with a guy, there's a lot of things that have to get ironed out communication-wise. So Mangiapane's not going to make that mistake in the spring if he's played with Backlund all year. He's probably not going to make that mistake again after making it once and now they have the conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
So while these could be nice pairs, they also don't know each other that well. Like, tell me about all the reps Hamonic and Giordano have and how much they've communicated on the ice together.
Gio talked about that. Lots of reps with Hamonic on the penalty kill. So they spent a lot of time together there. And Hanifin and Anderson have played together, not extensively.
Maybe a second pair, power play a bit.
And also when Hamonic went down. So some of the times
of time,
that Hamonic has been hurt, they've played together. And Hanifin talked about that today.
So, and this is sort of, one of the things that the coaching staff is weighing. How much do we want to, like, change to try to fire up this group that hasn't been great? And how much are we taking away in continuity and communication and just understanding where your partner is and how you're going to play with them?
I don't know. Well, that's why I say I like the switches. I like the look of them, and I'm interested in them. I don't know if they're going to be
better. So what do you like about them?
I like the potential of it spreading things out a little bit more, and I like the...
How would it be spread out? Like, you're still using the same...
No, I know, but
top four guys,
I feel like there's even a little bit more, especially when you have Anderson with Giordano. I just feel like there's a little bit more of it just being a little more of an even spread, and I really like the potential of having Hanifin and Anderson together. I think that could be a really interesting pairing for this team going forward.
So are you talking... When you say spreading things out, are you sort of discussing defending versus attacking?
More so ice time. I don't think you need to load up as much. I think it can be spread out a little bit more over six defensemen.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. I just wanted you to expand on that because it wasn't clear whether... Because I think you could argue that Giordano and Hamonic are superb defenders, right? And you could argue that the guys that can jump up and use their feet and create offense, Hanifin and Anderson are those, and Gio as well. But so you could profile those pairs differently, right? You're at home, you have last change. You could give one of those pairs a little more high ground, but that wasn't what you're talking more about ice time.
Yeah.
So I just wanted clarification on that because it's intriguing and I don't really know how they're going to be used.
And Hanifin Anderson could be like, I'm with you. I think there's probably a good chance that they revert back to some point in the pretty near future to what we're used to, whether it's this game or next game. Like, I think that's probably what we'll see eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder a little bit about Hanifin Anderson next season or the season after, because look, Giordano will be 37 next year. And at some point he won't be this team's top pairing left side defenseman.
Yep.
Is that Hanifin's job? Is that Valimaki's job? So Hanifin Anderson, you can project down the road and say, that might be a pairing for this team long term. So that's really interesting for me to watch tonight.
Yeah, and Valimaki Anderson would be the other one.
And
maybe that's another year down the road. But I think everyone around these parts seems to think Yusuf Valimaki is going to be a significant player on this team, a core part once he, you know, gets healthy and can get some reps. And, yeah, there's, what, how many years left on Gio? Three?
Yeah.
He's not going to be a number one D in the third year of that deal, I'd suggest. I mean, he's already avoided father time somehow, but you'd expect that he's going to slide down the depth chart between now and the end of this contract. And that's not to suggest he can't be a really valuable part, but at the same time that you're expecting age to take a little away each year, you're expecting Valimaki to get better, Anderson to get better, Shillington
to get better.
Hanifin, yes.
Hanifin's younger than Anderson.
Yeah, that's, you have to remind yourself that how quickly he jumped into the league after his draft.
Well, he was playing as an 18-year-old, right?
Yeah, so he played college in his 17-year-old season, 18-year-old season in the NHL? Like, whoa.
So he's got significantly more NHL experience than a lot of the guys that he's in the mix with, yet he's younger than Anderson. And yep. So that tells you how long he's been playing for. I don't think Michael Frolik's going to be the healthy scratch tonight. I don't think he's played poorly of late at all. I know they needed to make a move to bring Lucic in, so they want Lucic to come back after a two-game suspension. He mm-hmm. will. But I really like the combo of Frolik, Jankowski, and Reeder, and I think Frolik's been a driver on that line. Jankowski's played his two best games of the season, I felt, the last two nights. Reeder's been really good for them there, and, mm-hmm. and I think Frolik's been tenacious and on the puck. So he would not have been my first choice to come out, but somebody's going to have to sit, and they're rotating guys in and out, it looks like. Bill Peters said today doesn't expect this to be a long-term thing, probably just a game for Frolik, and somebody else might come out next game.
Reeder seemed like the natural, given that he spent a bunch of time there. First scratch is always the hardest for a coach, isn't it? The first time you scratch a guy?
Yeah, and I guess this would be the first time this year.
And I'm not even talking about Frolik, because they did him last year.
Yeah.
How much term left on Milan Lucic's deal? Are you really going to scratch him in November when there's 3 years left on that, 4 years left on that? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
3 years after this one?
I think that's correct, yes.
So, do you start the scratch party now? Like, I think he's a better player than Lucic, Frolik. I think Frolik's a much better player.
3 years, by the way, with Lucic left on his deal.
Including this or after this?
After this. Yeah. So, 4 years just, including this.
There you are. So, that's a lot of runway to start putting a guy in the press box, unless you're going to disguise it under something like load management. Which I would have been starting on a long time ago.
Yes, you
advocating for that this summer. He's not their 13th best forward. He's not. He's definitely not got the bounces, but he's still on the right side of creating chances and shot differentials. And the other thing that I wonder about sometimes is the button pushing that. They know he's not their 13th best forward, but how's he been after a scratch? Well, he came back and scored two last year after his first scratch, didn't he? Reunited on that 3M line. Maybe it's more about that. Maybe it's Reeder's going good and you don't want Lucic out a third game in a row. I don't love the decision, but the long game might be something we're not thinking about.
I think that probably is what they're looking at when it comes to this decision. And finally, just a thought on the opponent tonight. I don't know what they are. I don't know what to expect from them. They're playing better. It was an awful start to the season for a Devils team that had some pretty lofty expectations. And you go out, you draft Hughes number one, and you got another year of Nico Hischier, and you bring in PK Subban, you bring in Nikita Gusev. Like, there were some high expectations for this Devils team. Bad start, but a nice little run here. 4-1-2 in their last seven games. So they're playing some much better hockey. They're coming off a 2-1 shootout win over the Winnipeg Jets a couple of nights ago. I'm really interested in watching them play, but I don't know what to expect from them. I see there's a lot of talent. I see there's some big names, but I'm just mostly interested to see what this group is all about tonight.
Yeah, fair enough. And lots of turnover in this group. Just chatting with one of the beat reporters in there that, you know, okay, how has PK Subban been? What's going on with, you know, clearly a guy that came in with a bunch of hype and Nikita Gusev, who hasn't been nearly as impactful as many thought he would at 27 coming over from Russia. You know, part of the Knights organization as a thank you from Tampa in the expansion draft. Corey Schneider, it was kind of last call for the bounce back. That hasn't happened as of yet. Blackwood was good down the stretch yet last year. Seen flashes of it this year. They're a team trying to transition out of a rebuild back into competitiveness, but they also just picked number one overall, so they're clearly not that far removed from the depths of the rebuild, right?
That number one overall pick, by the way, of course, is Jack Hughes, who has 3 goals and 7 points in his first 13
turned
NHL games. He has really started to turn it on. Took him a little while to get that first goal.
And understandable. Like, right from the development program to the NHL, first guy to do that.
Yeah.
That's a quantum leap.